Would you stand with me for the reading of the word today? As we begin this Christmas season, for many of you concerning Christmas trees and all of that, some of you started back 1st of November. But as we begin this Christmas season, I want to share a word with you. It's nothing new. It's nothing we haven't heard before. But it's a reminder of what the season's all about. Why we celebrate Christmas. Why we rejoice in this time of year. Why there is such happiness. Why there is such joy. But I will tell you, even in the midst of all of that, there's a lot of people who are sad, broken, lonely. But my prayer is that every saddened heart and every broken spirit and every hurting person will be lifted up in the joy and the peace and the power of God in this loving season. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, New King James tells us this. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How many times have we read that short little passage over the years? And here's the part that sticks out to me here. Because there was no room for them in the inn. On the day of his birth, there was no room for Jesus. As you read throughout the Word of God about his life and as he walked upon this earth, many had no room for Jesus. It's sad that we live in a world even now that many have no room for Jesus. But let me give you the reality of what happened in that stable that night. And laid in that manger for all the world to see. The greatest gift that was ever given to man was given on that night. It was not exalted. It was not uplifted in the eyes of many around them. But yet it was given by God. The Bible declares that gold, frankincense, and myrrh was brought as gifts, but only by a few, only by three. But everyone else could not see and understand what happened in that moment. But here's what I want you to get. The greatest gift ever given to man was given in that moment. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. You may be seated. The Christmas story has been told and read countless times throughout the ages, but still brings cheer and comfort to the hearts of millions who hear of the baby lying in a manger. But the Christmas story, and I want to make this very clear today, the Christmas story is more than just a babe in a manger. It's more than just that unique moment. Because when you go back and you look at the life of Jesus Christ, and I don't get ahead of myself here, but you look at the life of Jesus Christ, people had different ideas about who Jesus was in that day. As he became a man and as he began to follow the will of his Father and he began to do do what God had sent him to do, the Bible said there were those who wanted to kill him. There were those who wanted to destroy him. They did not want to hear the words of God. They did not want to see what he had to give. They just wanted him to be annihilated. But yet the Bible said the wise men who came to him referred to him as he that is born king of the Jews. So in the later part of his life, many wanted to kill him. But in the beginning part of his life, the wise men recognized who he was and why he came. He was born to be the king of the Jews, King of kings and Lord of lords. The reality of all of this is this. Jesus took it upon himself to be born as a human being. Jesus took it upon himself to put on human flesh and walk upon the earth as a man. How did this take place? We all understand. In Luke chapter 1 verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So how did it happen? A virgin was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost. And when the child was born, the angel said he would be called the Son of God. John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Jesus. Then in John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to go back to that first part. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So how did it happen? He was born of a virgin. He put on flesh. He came down to live and abide among mankind. And we still celebrate the fact that the Word of God was made flesh. And we now see and understand the entire scope of his birth. We understand his life, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. We understand the full scope of why Jesus came, what he accomplished, and where he is now. We understand the purpose, but the whole reality is this. Jesus was and is the greatest gift of all. He was the greatest gift ever given to this world. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you that Jesus today lives, and he is sitting upon his throne, and I want everyone in this house to hear this. He is waiting to be born again. But yet this time he's not coming to be born into a fleshly body. He is coming to be born into the heart and the soul of every man, woman, boy, and girl who will believe upon him and receive him as the Savior of their soul. He's waiting to be born in the life of the believer. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's look at that last part again. If you confess the Lord with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you confess him, if you believe him, you will be saved. What a wonderful thing to understand. What a wonderful thing to know. That gives you all the reason why Jesus came. Romans 10:13, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that verse. Whosoever calls, whosoever asks. He never one time said you had to beg God. He never one time said you had to plead with God. He never one time said you had to jump through certain hoops to find the saving grace of God. All he said was, if you ask and you call upon the name of the Lord and you believe, you shall be saved. And I want to say this in this room today. As far as I know, everyone here is saved and on your way to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus, all you have to do today is ask. All you have to do is call upon his name, and if you believe, you will be saved. But I want to take you back to something. God's plan was not finished with Jesus' birth. That's how it all started. That's how it all began. It is not finished today with a person's salvation. God's plan's not finished as each person gets saved, as each person finds the grace of God. But his plan will be finished when Jesus returns in the clouds of glory. So it all started as a Savior who came to save the world. It all in the middle, it was one who reached out and reached those who were, he was here. But yet still the saving grace is going forth today. But it will end when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of glory. And I want you to hear this. Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he comes back, it'll be without sin and with unto salvation. In other words, he took the sin of man upon him. But when he comes back this time, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. His second coming fulfills the words the angel spoke to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Don't you think about that for a moment. We know that that statement was made in that time, but it was a declaration of what was to come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How is that going to happen? Only through Jesus. Can I declare to you this morning that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth the second time, he's not coming back as that cute little baby boy that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He's not coming back as a mild-mannered man who went to the whipping post and allowed them to beat him there. But when he comes back again, Christ will return as a conquering champion. He will come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will come to a establish his kingdom and reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, I feel him. He's not coming back in the same manner, but this time as that lion, this time as that conquering king, this time as the Lord of Lords. Can I tell you, then it will not matter what people think about him. You remember what I said in the beginning? People had all different thoughts about Jesus. Some wanted to kill him. Some wanted to take him out. And then the wise men said, declared who he was. But can I say this to you? In that moment of time when he comes back, it's not going to matter what the world thinks about him. It's not going to matter what people feel about him, because the words of Isaiah will ring true. Isaiah 9:6-7, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of the government of peace, and there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. So what Isaiah declared will be fulfilled in that moment. All of his wonderfulness, this counselor, the reigning king, who he is. Can we go back for just a moment and we look back at what took place, if you will. Jesus was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous birth. It was a preconceived birth. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think when you hear the word virgin? What comes into your mind when you hear that word? Honored, pure, simple, holy. By a virgin birth, the Son of God became flesh. There was only one way he could come. Can I say this to you? That virgin birth brought about even more of the purity of who he was. There wasn't anything that could mark him. There wasn't anything that could scar him. There wasn't anything that could say, that could call him imperfect. But he came as that perfect gift that would be the perfect sacrifice to make the perfect way for salvation. John 1:14 said, the Amplified Version, the word God, the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. I want to stress that last part there. Absolutely free of deception. What's this speaking of? The entrance of the sinless Son of God into the world. The entrance of the supreme sacrifice for all mankind into the world. But I want you to notice that word again, the sinless Son of God. The key word is sinless. Because when Jesus came, he had no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. Sin was not a part of who he was. He was not born with a sinful nature, and he did not commit sin. And I want to just say this to you. Why was that so important? Why was it so important that he come as that spotless lamb? Why was it so important that he live a life and come as one without sin? Jesus had to be sinless because sin, he became sin for us that we might be made righteous before God. He came without sin so he could become sin, so that we could become righteous before the Lord, so that we could be without sin. And I want you to notice the birth of Jesus was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Before he ever spoke the world into existence. Before he ever spoke the worlds into existence. The Jesus was on his mind to come as a Savior. Jesus was in his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Why? Because it was the only means that could save his people from sin. It was the only means that could change the hearts of men. In Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He will save them from their sin. He will transform who they are. He will change their life for eternity. Well, I like that. It was just what man needed. It was what was needed. It was the perfect gift. It was a Savior sent from God. And I want you to catch this. The best gift is not necessarily what we want. Sometimes the best gifts are what we need. We think it's what we want. We think it's what we desire. But sometimes the best gifts that we receive are the things that we need. And man needed a Savior. Why? Because man was bound by sin. Man was heavy laden by sin. And I got news for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you have to understand, when you took your first breath upon this earth, you was born into a life of sin. Sin put its thumbnail upon you. Sin put its mark upon your life. Sin holds you bound. Man had sin, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why did they need a Savior? Because man was unable to rectify or to fix the situation. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not by what you and I have accomplished. It's not by what you and I can do, or how many things that we can say, or how many actions we can take, or what we can do to get it done. It only comes by the mercy of God, his saving grace. Man was without hope. Can I just stop and say this while I'm here? Man is still without hope without Jesus. Man is still without hope, without the mercy and the grace of God upon him. The fact that he was born of a virgin, died on a cross, ascended back to heaven, and one day is coming again to receive his bride into himself is the hope of the ages for all mankind. Amen. The fact that he was born of the virgin, that supreme sacrifice, that he gave his life on the cross at Calvary, and the fact that one day he's coming back to receive us, to receive his bride, to receive his church unto himself. Can I tell you, that's the hope of the ages for all of us who believe. I want to conclude this message this morning with this. What have we done with the baby born in the manger? What have we done with the baby who was born in a manger? I want that to sink into your spirit for just a moment. Have we left him in the manger? Have we replaced him with some other representation of Christmas? Or like Simeon, have we looked into his face and blessed God and said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Now I know we can't physically look into the eyes of God. We can't physically look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice what Simeon said. He said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." What have we done with the baby that was in the manger? Have we just marked him off and pushed him aside? Or are we, as Simeon said, "I've seen the saving grace of God"? What have we done with the Jesus that was proclaimed as God's way to salvation? Have we replaced him with newer things? Have we replaced him with other things in our life? Or like Thomas, have we looked into his loving eyes and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Think about it. What have we done with the news of the return of Christ? Have we considered it to be science fiction? Have we considered it to be a fantasy too good to be true? Or like John, have we put our faith in him saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? What have we done with the Christ that came to save us? What have we done with the way that was made for us? What have we done with the greatest gift ever given to man by God himself? Because of Jesus, the greatest gift of all, hope has come. Because of Jesus, the greatest gift of all, peace has come. Joy has come. But here's the reality. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Life has come. There was a major time of silence before Jesus, the greatest gift, was born. This season of silence is a season of preparation that is going to bring forth the greatest things that he has prepared for us. All the great things that God has ahead, all the things that he has in store. In the natural birthing process, there's a time when they say the baby is transitioning and it's painful. Why is it painful? Because it's when they move into the birthing canal, and that painful movement is designed to put them in the position they need to be born. But before that birthing can ever take place, that child has to come into position. Why did I share this with you? There's something shifting in the children of God today. There's something shifting in the church today. There's transition that is happening in the church today. And let me tell you why. because of the greatest gift that was ever given to man by God. And this is a little different than what I preach, but I'm going to give it to you while I'm here. Colin said it earlier as he was up here. He mentioned finishing strong. I don't know where you've been lately. And I don't know what's happened in your life lately. But it seemed like everybody I talked to, everybody I've been around lately has gone through so much opposition, so much turmoil, so many trials and difficulties. There's so much stuff that's happening. Can I just tell you for a moment, there's been a lot of stuff that's going on in my life lately. A lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things I don't know why they're happening. A lot of things I don't know why now. Why now? But I'm going to tell you why now. Because there's a shifting happening. God is transitioning. God is lining up. God's getting his people in position. And here's the reality. Not only do you know that, not only do I know that, but the devil knows that. So everything that can come against you is coming against you. Everything that can seemingly go wrong seems to be going wrong. Am I talking to anybody? Anything that can seem to go adverse is going adverse. But you didn't start this journey with God to quit now. You didn't start this journey with God to give up now. You didn't start with God to walk away in this moment. But I'm going to tell you why I shared this with you, and I know it's totally different from what I preached. We need to finish strong. As we finish out this year, we need to finish strong. It's not time to get relaxed. It's not time to back away. It's not time to back off a pastor. It's the holiday season. This is the time of rest. This is the time. But let me just stop and tell you, it may be in the eyes of the world, but in the kingdom of God, there's no time to stop. God doesn't mind us enjoying our families. God doesn't mind us enjoying this holiday season. God wants you to enjoy it. But what God wants you to understand is don't quit now. There's a shifting. Jesus had to be shifted into position to be born as the greatest gift of all. God is shifting you in position because some of his greatest gifts of now are going to come through you. My God, I feel him. Some of his greatest gifts of now are going to come through you. They're going to come through me. They're going to come through us. They're going to come through the church. But you got to be in position. You got to be in place. I'm talking to some people in this room. The battles you've gone through is because the devil don't want you to get in position. The trials you're facing is because the devil don't want you to get in position. The hell you've gone through is because the devil don't want you to get in position. The things that are happening that you don't understand is because the devil don't want you to get in position. But don't you let anything take your eyes off of what God called you to do, what God purposed for you, and what God planned for you. Don't let anything rob you of your focus. It's not how we started. It's how we're going to finish. You may have started out the greatest you've ever started out. But I want to ask you, where are you now? I don't know how I got way out here. But where are you now? What's happening with you now? I'm going to give you a reality, and I'm going to give the altar call. There will be many when Jesus comes back that started out right, saved and on their way to heaven. But there will be many that will be left behind because they got their eyes off of Him and they walked away. There have been many that started out right on their journey, but the issues of life have robbed them. I'm talking to some people in this room who have been robbed. I'm talking to some people in this room. The enemy's been working hard on you lately, but you haven't quit. I want to encourage you. Finish strong. Finish strong.